You can be seated. Also, I'm teaching Sunday school, so be in prayer for me. Let's see here. This is kind of a last-minute scripture that I thought of putting in here because I wanted to open with a scripture, and so I didn't put it in my lesson. So y'all can either read along or just listen to me read a little bit out of 1 Peter 4. It's kind of appropriate with the lesson. 1 Peter 4:3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Let's skip on down. And above all things, this is verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And you remember, I've been on this lesson of love and talking about love lessons and falling in love with the Lord and putting, you know, love in marriage, and that marriage itself is an opportunity to learn these lessons about love. But all these other relationships in life teach us something about love. Filial love, but also as being a type of agape love. Skip on down to verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. All right. I'm going to open in prayer for this lesson. And I actually have to sidestep a little bit. I'm probably not even going to get into the actual love lesson today because something's been bearing on my heart that I want to share. It doesn't even really tie into the love lesson, so I may not even get to that part. But it's really burdening me, so I want to do that. Okay. Heavenly Father, we pray you just bless this little lesson, Lord, and just help me to just calm down and just teach it slowly in a way that could be understood, and just let it be a blessing to your children, I pray. And help us to understand more about this divine healing. And the things you've done in our midst, Lord, in this time of this interval that Brother Wade's been preaching on, Lord, we know you're in our midst. We know you're doing mighty things here. And just help us to be awake and alert and see exactly what's happening in this our day. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Brother Boyd, I had an episode here recently of divine healing, or you could say a miracle. I would call it a miracle because he testified up here that, you know, that God healed him from diabetes. And I've known quite a few people. I don't know much about diabetes, but I've always heard of people being diagnosed with diabetes. And it's one of those things that, as I understand, you're basically stuck with outside of a miracle, outside of divine healing. It's not something that medicine can cure or whatever. And so it's an unusual thing for somebody to say, God delivered me from diabetes. But if you, just from my perspective, okay, I don't know all the little nitty-gritty details specifically about Brother Boyd and his situation, but I know he's at church all the time, and he's always up here at his post of duty, always singing praise to God, even if he don't feel like it. And then besides that, he's not confessing the negative things, not always talking about his symptoms. And he got up here a while back and read this long diagnosis of problems that he had been diagnosed with, and then said, now the Lord healed me from all those things. And his own wife, as I understand, didn't even know he had all that. So I'm making a point that there's a lot of examples of you that I could name that have done that same thing, that you stood and been diagnosed with something, you're hurting, and you act like you're healed, you confess you're healed, and you don't talk about the symptoms, and you don't go around confessing the negative things. And that's what I want to emphasize and kind of put and kind of highlight is in this little part of this lesson, because it goes overlooked. We say, well, thank the Lord, Brother Boyd was delivered from an incurable disease. Thank God. And we go on, and then we forget about it. But I don't want us to forget about it. I want to really put emphasis on that and say that was God. And he's not over the sea. I mean, he is over at these other churches, the big-name preachers, the big churches, but he's here in Lula, in this little church, you know, and amongst each of you in your lives, if you just don't overlook the God in your life and meditate on the things he's done for you and don't belittle these little healings and things that take place. Divine healing is a process. It takes time and faith to keep believing God. The new birth is a process. It takes time and faith to keep believing God. So we know God hides himself and reveals himself in simplicity. And that's why I'm saying we'll overlook these little things where God is moving in Lula. Because that's just Brother Boyd. That's just Brother Wade. That's just whoever. And we're familiar with each other and we'll overlook the God in your life. And I like to look at it like this. God's big in my life, but I like to know about the God in your life. That's why I'm so big about y'all's testimonies, even of those little things. It seemed like where God did something for you and he was in those little things. He's always in the little things we leave unlooked. So he hides himself and reveals himself in simplicity. Maintain, Brother Boyd, I was just talking about you, by the way. Maintain a positive confession at all times. Refrain from a negative confession at all times. Okay. This applies to healing and salvation. A lot of the reason why I'm saying this is this does tie into my love lesson in one sense, because in my love lessons I've been talking about reading the Bible and praying as a way of falling in love with the Lord. And some people might say, well, I don't feel worthy to read the Bible. I don't feel worthy to come to church. I've done a lot of bad things. That's why I read in 1 Peter 4 there about the things that we have done in our past. We all have that dark past that we're ashamed of. And even maybe today still struggle with that root of evil. If you're still starting in the early part of your journey in sanctification, you still have that root of evil. That's normal. You're nothing abnormal, okay? If you go on and still struggle with sin because you're still starting on as a babe in Christ, you've been born by the Spirit of God, you started your journey, you're believing, you've been justified, now you got to go through this sanctification process. And in that, you're still going to mess up. You still might look at pornography. You still might cuss. You still might drink or smoke. Don't care. I'm an open-minded person. I've got a deep, dark past, too. I will not condemn you. And if I find out about any of those things that you've done, I'm not going to look down on you because I know what I was. I know what I was tempted to do. I had a struggle with pornography from 1996 when I gave my heart to the Lord all the way up till 2000, somewhere in there. And it was a hard struggle and also profanity. So dealing with looking at bad things and using bad words. But I kept going on with God, kept believing God and begging God to forgive me and begging God to take it out of me. In the Baptist church where I was at that time, I was told you can't help what you do. You just plead the blood. I was not taught sanctification. Nonetheless, God was faithful to lead me to sanctification. I started reading my Bible every day in 1999. Started reading my Bible every day. I was 15 years old. And it was about probably 6 months after that when pornography left me forever. That's been 24 years. I think that devil's dead. If something is gone for 24 years, you can pretty well say it's dead. Amen. I like when people get up here and testify and say, well, the Lord delivered me from cussing. It's been 2 weeks now. I'm like, that's good, but keep on going. I like to hear about somebody who's been delivered from something for a year or two, 4 or 5 years, because you know you're not suppressing it then. It's dead. Right. Same thing with profanity. I said my last cuss word when I was 16 and probably, I guess it was the year 2000, and haven't slipped up since. That was not me. I had tried to stop. I had tried to suppress those things for years leading up to that point, from 12 to 15 and 16 years old. I tried. I hated that demon. I hated doing those things, yet not knowing how to overcome it. And I said, God, there's got to be some way. He's so faithful to bring me to a place where I could learn about sanctification, but it was already taking place and I didn't know it. Act like you're healed even when symptoms persist. Act like you're saved even when temptations abound. And even when you maybe fall into those temptations, and when you fall down, you get up, you brush yourself back off, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Ask forgiveness for those who you've offended and ask God to forgive you and just keep right on going. Just don't stop no matter what. Every time I hear of somebody coming to the Lord, I say to them, just don't stop. I'm glad you came to the Lord. Congratulations. Welcome. Now, don't ever quit. Don't ever stop reading your Bible. Don't ever stop praying and come to church. No matter what you do, no matter how you sin, no matter how you mess up, you're not too far gone from God. And I sure won't look down on you. I know what I was. So just to name a few examples, Brother Dale, he's the one that's always been telling us, make a positive confession. You would never hear him talk about what's hurting him in his body. He could have terrible back pain. You would never hear of it. Positive confession, refraining from a negative confession. I said Brother Boyd a while ago, made an example of him. Sister Monica, I remember her mom when she was passing. Sister Monica's testimony was always positive. Her mom passed anyway, and I was surprised. But then again, you look at what Brother Wade preached recently, that God is sovereign. It's our job to pray and believe and confess. All right, when somebody dies anyway or goes on, it's just the Lord's will. But she kept a positive testimony all the way throughout that. So many of these widows here I can make examples of. You believed for your husbands, they passed, and you just kept right on serving the Lord, kept right on coming to church the very next service. I love that. I really honor y'all. I mean, y'all are amazing to me. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. This is Brother Branham's personal testimony about that terrible stomach problem he had that I think we often forget about how bad our prophet struggled himself with illness and his little battle he had to overcome. He said, I had to believe either the doctor or what God said. They had doctored me for 2 years and done nothing for me. Sorry about this little part. I'm trying to cram a lot in. I know you can't really read that, but anyway, he had corn, beans, and onions. He forced himself to eat food. He came to the point where he said, I don't care if it kills me. The doctor said it was going to kill him. I won't eat solid food. I don't care if it kills me. And he ate it. It came back up. He ate, swallowed it back down. It came back up. He swallowed it back down. People said, how you doing? He said, Mom said, how you feel? I said, wonderful. Went down the street, and I was going down the street singing, I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. Someone said, how you feeling, Reverend Branham? I said, wonderful. I can, I will, I do believe. Jesus heals me now. And yet he was regurgitating, you know, the stuff, the food he had eaten was come back up. He just swallowed back down, keep on going. That's what you have to do sometimes. This is a real nitty-gritty battle. And at times it's not supposed to be easy. I know it's kind of silly because I'm a scrawny little guy, but I'll demonstrate for my girls. Some of my girls are getting to the age now where they're having real battles in life. And I'll tell them, girls, you have to get down like this. You know, I just illustrate it, but like a, you know, football hold or something, like you're fixing to just tackle the devil and say, come on, boy, I'm not stopping at nothing. And the way you do that, there's no physical fighting in it. The way you actually carry that out is get up every day, read the Bible, pray. Those little foxes that spoil the vine, the little things you leave undone are the things that'll spoil your experience. You know, you get down every day. It's not really fighting with the devil. It's more like, get behind me, Satan. I want to read the Bible today anyway. Get behind me, Satan. I'm going to pray today anyway. I'm going to listen to sermons anyway, even though I don't feel like it. When I was going through depression and lust and profanity, the devil would sit there as a teenager, sit on my shoulder and say, hypocrite, hypocrite. I'd flick him off and I'd say, shut up. I know I am. I'm going to read the Bible anyway. Shut up. And I wanted to die. I was coming to church here even in like the later on experience, 2002, 2003. I was depressed. I wanted to die constantly. I wanted to kill myself. So come here, put on a smile, act happy. None of y'all knew it. And I'd go home and I want to die, and I'd have suicidal thoughts and think of how I'd carry it out. And then I'd read the Bible. And through my tears, sit there and read the Bible. That's getting down with the devil and saying, come here, boy. I'm not stopping. I won't stop. Do what you want to do. I ain't going to stop. So act like you're healed even when you when your symptoms persist. We're on a long journey. I might make it just a quick illustration of this. If you were going, say, from California, and you had to go all the way to New York, it's a long journey. But the main point is, if you're going to make that long of a trip, first of all, head in the right direction. We're on a journey in life. You just, in general, when you want to head from California to New York, head east. If you do nothing else, just head east. I don't care if you're on foot, start walking. If you don't even have any mode of transportation, just walk. And maybe you stay faithful in that little walk. It seems impossible to get there. Maybe the Lord will give you a bicycle. But you just keep on going. Now, you're riding a bike, and you're going across the country. It's going to take forever. It looks like an endless journey. It looks like it's impossible for you to get there. And yet, maybe the Lord, if you stay faithful, he'll just give you a car one of these days. And now you drive. Maybe he'll give you a GPS. And now you start to hone down your navigation skills, and you're getting more and more headed in the right direction, and you're picking up the pace, accelerating as you go. This is just exactly like your Christian journey. You start off so far from God, so buried deep in sin, such a terrible, dark life you've lived, and yet you say, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to serve Christ for the rest of my life, no matter what. Now, I still remember when I was 12, gave my heart to the Lord in the Baptist church, and I said, if I live to be 80, I'll be serving Jesus Christ. I'm not going to stop, no matter what. He's the one that's been faithful to come along when I didn't know the message and brought me into the message. He gave me my Bible reading at age 15. He inspired me to do that. And then the message when I was 17. And every time I needed more for my journey to accelerate my growth, he was faithful to put it right there in my path. He's always faithful. You just keep on the journey. Keep going. Keep headed east. You know what I'm saying? Just keep going in the right direction at least. We're all in a journey here. Continue on Brother Bannon's testimony. Mama called the doctor. She said, well, He said, why? It'll kill him as sure as the world. And then Brother Branham said, I did. In other words, I died to my unbelief. Now I got alive in faith, and now with Christ Jesus, that's right. He said, I weigh 165 pounds now, but I weighed 118 pounds. And take him at his word. Believe it, confess it, no matter how you feel. Believe it anyway. He said so. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Skip on down to paragraph 37. He's the high priest of your confession. Sitting there making intercession in your confession, what you believe. All of you in here that's saved tonight, just get in your head that you're not saved and go around saying, no, I'm not saved no more. You're not saved. That's a big word for a Baptist, isn't it? But that's true. You're backslid whenever you do that. That's right. I believe you can backslide. All right. But you see, you've got to have your testimony and your confession positive, not according to my feelings, but according to what he said. That's it. Accept God's gift. Then if you accept it on those basis and believe, keep saying it over and over. Say it out loud. Say it over and over. Just keep saying it. I'm healed. I'm healed. Say it until you actually believe it. And when you believe it, then it's going to take place. Don't have a negative testimony. Every time you confess, well, I still feel bad today, I guess you go right straight back to the same rut you was in the beginning. Okay, you'll never live above your confession. So this is, again, getting down to the nitty-gritty, fighting with the devil. In 2005, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. I simply came up here to the altar. Whoever was here, it was Brother Dale. I don't remember who was here that service ministering, but I came up and said, I'm just having a stomach problem. Please pray for me. I didn't tell him. Now, I'm bleeding my guts out. I'm hurting. I'm borderline anemic. The nurse said I'm anemic. Could we please, you know, I'm having this awful time. I can barely stand up. I'm doubled over in pain all the time, and I'm screaming my head off in pain. I didn't say all that. I just said, having a stomach problem. Can you pray for me? Well, he did, and I put that devil right here. He's still here if you come up here and look. From 2005, I laid him down right there.
Amen.
Okay. Now, as far as I recall, I never went back to the altar. No matter, it lasted 6 months that time. It was gone for 7 years. I never thought I'd see that demon again. He brought that box of rattlesnakes back to my doorstep in 2012 and said, I'm back. I looked at the package, and I said, let's see, it says Dale Bonnet. That's my grandpa. He died with that same thing. It says Brooke, now, I mean, my sister, she's had a worse episode of it than I've ever had. But it don't say Ryan. That's not my package. So I print out a return shipping label, and I said, and I sent it back to him. I said, you can have that back. I want to give it back. And it paid the, actually, Christ already paid the return shipping, but I signed the check. Said, you have that back, Satan. It's not mine. Which means I didn't tell anybody. I didn't confess I was having a problem again, even worse than the last time. I didn't confess it. Didn't say a word to anybody. Gabby's the only one that knew. And there's reasons why she had to know. But anyway, I didn't tell anybody here. Kept positive confession. I didn't come back to the altar for prayer. He was still right there, still dead. Dead demon, dead dumb devil. Still sitting up here at the altar, still dead. He just showed up again, and I said, it's not mine. So, lasted me 6 months, whatever, and symptoms went away again. I said, I'm healed the whole time. Do you understand? I was in agonizing pain at times and at work, driving a tractor trailer, having to go to the bathroom a dozen times a day. You read between the lines. There's some humiliation. There's some problems that I faced. And yet I said, right in the middle of all that, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Right in the middle of all that. That's what Brother Bam did here. He just fought it out. That's what Brother Dale did so many times. Just fought it out. And that's what a lot of you have done. Just fought it out. Just don't stop fighting.
Amen.
Said, I'm saved because I have met the conditions that Jesus Christ required for me. I'm saved according to the Bible. Is that right? See, and not because I feel like I'm saved. And you kept with your confession. After a while, it worked righteousness. And all your neighbors and everybody knows you're saved now because you believed it and you confessed it. See, we're talking about healing and salvation back and forth here. But why? What happened? What changed you? He's the high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making good what you're confessing. You accept him as your healer, renounce your feelings. It's not by feelings, it's by faith. Say you're healed, believe you're healed, act like you're healed, associate with those who believe in healing, and God will bring you right out of a perfect and to a perfect soundness of health. He will not fail. Don't never look at symptoms. I think, yes. Oh.
I told Sarah about it. That very summer, 1953.
Yeah.
That very part, and we wanted you again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we went down to the, and then I'm healed, like, maybe God wants us to hear that.
Amen.
Because I am so shocked that that very someone I put it on this morning.
Amen. If you couldn't hear that, she was saying she listened to that sermon this morning, and so thank the Lord.
Amen.
So this is a part about that I have to interject about. This also ties into my love lesson, which I'm not going to get to, but maybe next time, about being a temporary hypocrite. This is me, okay? This is you. When you start on your journey, you're a sinner, have all your problems, and you're coming on a journey, like I said, to a saint, okay? From a sinner to a saint. There's a transition. It's not just one time come to the altar and all of a sudden, slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, you're a holy, sanctified life and pure and walking with the Lord. No, you still have a battle to go through. You still have maybe pornography, profanity. I don't care. Just keep serving Christ with all your heart. Keep believing. Keep confessing. Keep reading the Bible. Keep praying. Keep coming to church no matter what. But you're going to be a temporary hypocrite. I don't know how else to word that. Hypocrisy means the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs. You're claiming, meaning you're confessing. Okay, you're telling everybody you're a Christian, and you're starting to into a new way of life that you haven't come to before. So claiming to have moral standard beliefs, which one's own behavior does not conform, a pretense. So in a sense, because you're still looking at pornography, you're still drinking, cussing, smoking, don't care what you're doing, maybe using drugs, whatever, I don't care. There's a part of your life that's still having to die. That root of evil has to die out. Okay, just keep going. Or in 20 years, if you don't keep going, you'll still be right there. You'll still have pornography. You'll still have profanity. You'll still have all those other things. 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be ye not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. We all had our time, that in our time past. But you are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Okay, this is something I'll just kind of skim over this right quick. Brother Bannon talked about that Indian chief and me as a white dog, black dog. He said, how do you get along? He said, pretty good, pretty bad. Well, since we received the Holy Ghost, he said, there's been two dogs. One of them a black dog, one of them a white dog. And they argue all the time on the ground fighting. And chief, which one of them wins the fight? He said, depends on which one she feeds the most. You've got to feed that white dog and starve that black dog to death. Starve him to death. Don't feed him nothing. He will die, but it takes some time. There's a dying. Resist the devil and he will flee. Bible didn't say right away. Resist the devil and he will flee. I would resist him. I'd flick him on my shoulder. He'd sit right there and linger, and I'd read the Bible anyway. He'd say, hypocrite, hypocrite. I'd read the Bible anyway. I'd cry crocodile tears, want to die, look at pornography and use cuss words. He'd sit there and say, hypocrite, hypocrite. I'd say, shut up. I want to read it anyway. I'm starving him. That's what I was doing. He's gone. Okay? Feed the white dog, starve the black dog. I want to read over my notes to make sure I don't leave something out. So as again, I said, why I'm talking about all this is because I know so many people feel unworthy to read the Bible and come to church. And it's just hard to stay going because of what the devil tells you you are. And he might be right. And you might be a hypocrite for the moment. That's not permanent. You're just in a transition. And just keep going. So, and I'm also not giving you license to continue in sin that grace may abound. As Paul said, I'm not saying just stay right there. You know, don't just keep, you know, intentionally. You should try to stop looking at pornography, try to abstain from things of evil, but at the same time, know that you're going to slip up from time to time in that sanctification. You're going to slip up. Don't let that hinder you. Don't let that be a cause for you to just give up altogether. Romans 6, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay, I'm going to see if I can skip on ahead. Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you can bear it. Don't let the devil tell you your oddity. You're a little bit too far gone from God. You've messed up too much. You're doing some sin that's just a little bit out of the way. Pornography actually opens up this gate. It kind of breaks down your walls, if you will, like a castle. It kind of breaks down any kind of fortification you have and lets in all manner of other perverted spirits. Because in the time after the Lord delivered me from it, I'd be reading my Bible, and I thought I'd find all the terrible things the children of Israel did, and I said, I either did that or was tempted to. Because of pornography, it looks so innocent, but then it lets in all these other things that just totally just breaks down your character and lets in all kind of things. You musicians can go ahead and come, please. So let's see if that's about it here. So it winds up that we have this armor of God. The scripture talks about having your loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness and all that. It kind of paints the picture of this great big warrior. But if you want to see the greatest warrior that's ever been, look at the bottom picture there of Christ in Gethsemane. Great, fighting the greatest battle that's ever fought. And dying to the human will and saying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Let this cup pass from me. My will is that this cup would pass, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he gave himself to the will of the Father. That's this putting on the whole armor of God. That's this toughening up and fighting the devil. It's not really physical fight. It's a spiritual fight, and it's a mind battle, and it's the greatest battle ever fought. It's just getting down and reading the Bible every day, no matter what. Come to church every service and listen to sermons as much as you can. Just keep on this Christian way and doing everything you can for the Lord constantly, every moment. God bless you. Amen.